Lord, as you know, we study Paul's life and realize how that he handled life and all the ways in which he was able to continue to serve you, and no matter what the circumstances was. And Father, I pray that we learn from that and we apply it to our lives every day. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. All righty, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. We've been doing a study on Wednesday evenings going through Paul's missionary journeys, but not so much studying the journeys as studying Paul's response to life, to what is going on, to the circumstances that he faces every day. And so we have gone through, still in the second missionary journey, but as we left last week, we saw Paul again getting beaten, put in prison. And the irony and a little bit of Paul coming out is when they sent the underlings to let them out of prison, Paul said, "No, you're not. I want them to come." And, you know, Paul said, "No, you're going to do it because you put us here. You're also going to come and you're going to face us." So he did that, and then we talked about that, how Luke evidently stayed there, and as Luke stayed there, he goes on now, and I think they pick Luke back up in chapter 20. So from here on out, Luke is not with them, but he moves into Thessalonica in chapter 17. And it says, "And now when they," again, not the we, "they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where the synagogue of Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbaths days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging or proving that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead." Now I want you to just set your thought there for a minute there in Acts. Sunday night, when we had our study Sunday night, we went and continued a little bit further in Luke on the crucifixion. And I just want to turn there quickly at the very end of Luke chapter 24 in verse 45. And this is what one of the verses we looked at. And it said, Then Christ, opened their understanding that they may understand the scriptures. And he was talking to this 11. He was talking to those that were there in the room. And he says, "And he said unto them, this it is writ, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses of these things." That's exactly what Paul just said. And it's interesting when you pull the scriptures and connect the dots, because the very thing before Christ ascended into heaven, he opened their eyes of understanding so that they would understand that Christ needed to die and pay the penalty of sin in the Gospels. And now we have Luke in Thessalonica in verse 3 opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So the very thing, I found that very intriguing when I began to study through this, because Christ gave them the understanding. He told them, then he opened their eyes of understanding. And again, Paul was not part of that original 11. Paul was not part of that original group. But yet they told him and they taught him. And now Paul is going out and teaching and saying the same thing. It's the message of Christ. It's the message that they understood. So I found that very interesting, just seeing that last Sunday evening. So he's there for three Sabbath days. Basically, we know that they, in that realm, three Sabbath days, he continued to reason with them. But it comes down to in verse 4, and some of them believed, or some of them were persuaded, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Basically, a lot of the chief women. Now remember, they just came from Paul and they were in prison in Philippi, where Lydia was. And she was known as one of the chief women, whether her husband had died or whatever, but she was the seller of purple. And so when you hear the word chief woman, it's one of the ladies who had a very rich to-do and had a home. And so there were many of them in verse 4 that believed. But again, but the Jews in verse 5, which believed not, moved with envy. And it just begin, we're going to tear this one apart, because here's what happens to Paul. First of all, Paul was doing exactly what God asked him to do, preach Christ's message. Well, the Jews that did not believe the message, the first thing that happened to them, it was they were envious. So it's ironic to me that they're going to respond to Paul out of a sinful attitude, out of envy. So that should be a red flag to us. That should be a red flag that you and I, when we look at life, we look at people around us, we need to be careful that we don't allow the negative attitude that could come in, or even if it does come in, we're human, not to run our life. And I think this is a very, very good description of what happens when the negative attitudes come into our life and make decisions for us. And that's exactly what we're going to see. So the first thing they do is they were moved with envy. And he took to them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Basically, you and I would say the evil men, the bottom of the barrel, that would do anything for a nickel. Basically, they would sell out their mother if they could. So these guys were individuals that everybody knows who they are, everybody knows what they do. So the Jews went and stirred them up. In verse 5, and they gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar. And they assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So we need to pause here for a minute, because obviously the house of Jason is where they were staying. That's where Paul and Silas were staying. And they went there to get them. They assaulted the house. They went to go get them, but they didn't find them. So again, it's a coincidence, right? Verse 6, and when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. So basically, Jason and a certain of the brethren now are being pulled into their plot of envy. And what that says to me is it's interesting, because Paul, you know, the strength that God gives you is contagious to others. The strength that you and I have to be able to go through life, to get through the times we get through, to the whatever they may be, whatever struggles you may be going through, those things that come into our life, when we are able to get through them, and it's not easy getting through them. It's difficult getting through them, but when we can still have that positive attitude, it's contagious, because you and I are able to do it based on the strength that God gives us. And so overlooking some of the evil envy, looking through all the bitterness that our world throws at us, all the things that could take place, looking through that, Jason and then some of the brethren now, they're taking the stand. So they're the ones now being charged. They're the ones being processed. And the charge is basically that there is another king, one of Jesus, that they're claiming. And so verse 8 says, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. When you go to verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city, what troubled them? Was it really the trouble that Paul had a message? Was that the trouble? I think the trouble came that these guys took Jason and the brethren. They're not the ones sharing the message. They're not the one telling everybody, although they believed. They're not the ones doing it. And what it did is they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. And when they heard these things, taking them into security of Jason and the others, they let them go. Basically, they went and rescued them from the mob. They went and rescued them from these bad guys. And Paul's not mentioned in any of this. Interesting enough, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto the Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So we have Paul going to the synagogue in Thessalonica. We have him going into Jason's house to stay. Where was Paul at? Where was he hiding? Where was he at? They went to the house to find him, and they couldn't find him. He wasn't there. Who knows where Paul was at? But the irony where Jason and the brethren took the stand, that's key to how do we live through this life. Sometimes it's going to be our turn. Sometimes we're going to have to leave, you know, and it's going to be a thing. And one thing I look at is when I'm not available because of whatever reason, or if I'm on vacation or I'm gone or something, it's great to know that there's men who just jump right in and take the pulpit and take over situations and take care of things that I don't have to worry about. And so what I want to bring across tonight is that the stronger we stand, the more contagious we become for Christ. That's how Paul handled it. Paul shared with Jason and the brethren. Paul was a part of their staying there. Paul reasoned, and they believed, and many in that city believed. And so Paul's encouragement, Paul's strength, because he just got out of Philippi. Now, as I studied this, I couldn't help but think this. If the modern technology that we have today was available back in Paul's day, his ministry would have been a lot shorter. Because they just would have wired ahead to the next city. They said, hey, he's on his way. Get him when he gets there. You know? But Paul didn't have, I mean, they probably had people running and having horses and, you know, the old Pony Express back in the day. But they didn't Paul went every city to the synagogue, as he always did. The last time he went to the synagogue, they almost beat him to death. They put him into prison. But did that stop him from going in the synagogue the next day? No. Why? Because God commissioned him and said, go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Every city he went into, he went to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. No matter what the circumstance of life was, Paul said, but God asked me to do this. And therefore, I'm going to do it no matter what happens to me. Coming out of a beating, coming out of prison, going into from Philippi back into Thessalonica, and he gets it all over again. They're accusing him, but it's contagious. And that excited me, because the more you and I are able to stand, the more you and I get excited about Christ, the more you and I are able to handle the craziness of our world, we're contagious. And I think that's what we need in our world today, some contagious Christians. And I'm not talking the virus. I'm just talking contagious of Christ, so that we can share, we can smile, we can do things. And it is hard, it is difficult, and sometimes we get so bombarded that it's hard to do. But when in verse 10, again, they took him, immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of Jews. Again, went into the synagogues. And so, before we get into those there in Berea, we can't help but understand that it moved even the city officials, that this mob was so bad they went after the wrong people, that they got them and protected them. Paul's contagious strength in Christ is even evident in through Jason and the brethren's lives. They were there, they were taken, and yet they were, again, saved. They weren't in prison, as Paul was in prison, they were saved from prison, but they were saved from the mob. And they took security of them, and again, and they let him go. So they went to Berea. And in Berea, verse 11 says, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This is a whole different atmosphere, people. When it says they were more noble, it didn't mean that they were more intelligent people or they were smarter people. It just means that they were more in tune with the scriptures. They were more in tune with the message of God. And Paul was not able to say anything without them going and checking on it. And I think that's phenomenal. Because you know what? That didn't bother Paul. When I first entered into ministry, and I can remember when a pastor would come and visit, or Pastor Proper would come visit, or one of the pastors would come and visit the church, and I would be so nervous. I would be so scared because, man, these guys have been doing it a long time. These guys know the ropes, you know, and I'm gonna mess up somewhere. And so it was kind of unique because, and again, Tom Schreckengost, he always held me accountable, and I loved it because he always had his computer there, and he was checking up things on his computer, making sure I was saying it right. And if I didn't, he didn't leave until he let me know, go look this up, and then let me know what you come up with. He would never tell me. He'd just say, go look this up. And so it was interesting, but the Bereans were doing the same thing. It didn't intimidate Paul. Because we look at Paul's life, verse 12, therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women, in which were Greek, and of the men, not a few. So he goes to Berea, and they're testing him. They're checking out his message, checking out his word, whether the things that he was saying was correct. What did they have? The Old Testament. When we see that Paul, anywhere he goes, that he's breaking the scriptures, or he's reasoning the scriptures, or he's talking about the scriptures, all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. So Paul would start teaching again. What did Christ tell them when he left? He opened their eyes of understanding so that they knew and understood from what? The scriptures, the Old Testament, that Christ must needs suffer and die for the redemption of sin. And that's the message that Paul gave everywhere he went. He reasoned it through the Old Testament. These Bereans, they'd go back home, they'd be looking in their Old Testament and making sure everything Paul said was correct. And when they saw that what Paul said was correct, what happened? Therefore, in verse 12, many of them believed, also the honorable women which were Greek, and of the men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Now you have a group of people who came from where? Thessalonica. They found out where he went, and they followed him to destroy his message. That's the same today as sending an email or a text to somebody and say, here they come, watch out. They followed him. And so that's how, again, emphasis on it all started because they had an evil, envious attitude they were making their decisions from. And when they made the decision to go after them in Thessalonica and couldn't find them, they went to Berea, hearing that he was down there. And they stirred up the people again. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. They were after Paul. They really, Silas and Timothy weren't the ones that we were really concerned with. They wanted to stop Paul. And as I saw that, did it stop Paul? Absolutely not. Paul never quit. He never ended. He kept going. He kept saying, but this is my commission. This is what God wants for me. This is what God has for me. And so, you know, we're going to close it there, and we're not going to get down into Athens tonight. We'll get there next week. But when we look at how Paul was continually protected by God, by the people getting him out in time, it was God's protection because why? Paul was continually obedient. And so, you know, in our lives, we don't necessarily need to worry maybe as much about everything going on. We don't need to worry about what's happening around us as much. As long as we stay obedient to God, he will always place the right people at the right time, and we will always be okay. And we're contagious when we like that. We're contagious when we respond like that. And I think that was a great lesson we've seen in Paul's life as we've seen these two areas that he went to tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, we just look at this study tonight and realize that you are a God that commissions us. You are a God that protects us in many different ways. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue to study through Paul's life, we see someone who is extremely surrendered to you. And Lord, we can be that surrendered. We can still have that same protection. We still have that ability. And God, I just pray we continue to just look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, and continue just to rest in your care as we go through the journey of our lives. And we just pray this in your son's name. Amen. All righty. I appreciate that. And again, Paul's just, to me, he's an ordinary.